We're happy to welcome to the show an Oscar and Emmy-nominated actress who's got an incredible resume, from Cinderella to films like Victor Victoria, Clue, Secretary, The Limey, a work on television and Mission Impossible, Will and Grace, Psych, and more. We are very pleased to be joined by Leslie Ann Warren. Well, thank you so much for making some time for us today.
You're very welcome. You're welcome.
You have such a remarkable body of work. There's so much to talk about, but I thought this was pretty interesting. When I posted on social media that you were going to be on the show, I had three different female friends who were actors who all reached out and said, "Oh my gosh, please let her know how much of an inspiration she's been to me."
Oh, that's so great to hear. That's great to hear.
Well, let's go back almost to the beginning here. You started so young. Were you 17 when you joined the Actors Studio?
I was 17. I was in my first Broadway show. I had just turned 17 over the summer, and we were in rehearsal for 110 in the Shade. And at the same time, I believe I auditioned for the Actors Studio and got in. And I had to tell them I was 18 because at that time they didn't let people under 18 get in. So yeah, I made that one up.
Was that the Harvey Schmidt Tom Jones show, their follow up to the Fantastics?
Yes, it was. Yes.
So you were doing that, and was it doing 110 in the Shade when Charles Dubin saw you?
Yes, he saw me in the Broadway show, and I had come to audition for Cinderella, along with probably, I don't even know how many hundreds of other young women, and I was so intimidated by auditioning for Richard Rodgers that I really didn't do a good audition, and he was kind of like, "Well, thanks, but no thanks," essentially, but Charlie Dubin, who had seen me on Broadway, said, "No, you've got to bring her in again. She's so young. She's just nervous." And so they did bring me in again. And this time the prior audition was in a rehearsal hall, but this time they invited me to come to Mr. Rogers' apartment with Charles Dubin and Eugene Loring, the choreographer, and Johnny Green, the musical supervisor, and we all were in the living room, and then Richard Rodgers asked him to leave, and he sat down at the piano bench and had me sit down next to him and played My Funny Valentine for me and asked me to sing it, each sort of phrase after he sang it, and that was my audition, and it went really well, obviously, and I got the job.
Was that intimidating, or did he help put you at ease?
You know, just being there with him alone and having him be so kind and teaching me how he liked his music to be sung, it did put me somewhat at ease. Yeah, it was much more comfortable than being in a rehearsal room with everybody at the other end of the rehearsal room. And, you know, it's so isolating, and you feel so, it is totally intimidating. So yes, it was much, much easier for me.
Well, of course, Cinderella was such a huge hit. I remember as a young guy watching that and probably falling head over heels in love like every other guy my age. But what a powerhouse cast. You were working with some certified legends.
Definitely working with legends. Ginger Rogers was the Queen Mother, and I had been a dancer my whole life, and so to be in a movie actually, or, you know, a television project with her was astounding. And then the same thing with Jo Van Fleet, who played the Wicked Stepmother. I was a member of the Actors Studio at that time. I had been studying with Lee Strasberg for years in his private classes. And so she was an icon of the studio. She was, you know, considered one of the greats. And so, again, that was just an incredible experience to be on a soundstage. And then, of course, Celeste Holm and, you know, Walter Pidgeon. It was an amazing, amazing entrance.
that would lead to the opportunity to work with Walt Disney and one of our best friends on the show, because he lives next door in New Hampshire. John Davidson is a wonderful friend of our show.
Yeah.
And you worked with John, our friend Joyce Bulifant, my gosh, Fred McMurray, Geraldine Page, Mrs. Miniver, for crying out loud. You're working with Greer Garson.
I know. To have Greer Garson play my mother in my first movie. It was everything I think I ever dreamed of in terms of movies. And I was, you know, my mom and I would go to two movies every, you know, on a Saturday for years and years and years when I was little. And I was so, so enchanted and entranced by movies and the incredible artists of that day. And so to be in my first movie with them was, there are no words for how glorious that was.
And then you got a chance to work with John and the Sherman Brothers again.
Yes, yes. We did the second movie. I was under contract with Disney, but Mr. Disney passed away after the first film that we did together, The Happiest Millionaire. And then I came back to fulfill my contract with John Davidson on the second film, which was, you know, also wonderful. It was Walter Brennan and Buddy Ebsen, Janet Blair. Yeah, it's incredible.
We're talking with Leslie Ann Warren here on Downtown. How did you end up getting the role of Dana Lambert on Mission Impossible?
You know, they came to me. They came to my manager, I believe, and they wanted to take the show in a very different direction. They wanted a younger viewership, I believe. And, you know, so they sought me out. And our biggest sort of creative argument was that I wanted to have my freckles show. And we don't want that. We want, you know, some glamour or whatever. And so, but it was great because they gave me a real variety of acting challenges as Dana Lambert. I didn't want to stay with the show ultimately because it wasn't what I had envisioned for myself long term. But I had, you know, an incredible experience working with Leonard Nimoy, who went on to direct me in his first directing job on Night Gallery, which was amazing.
And I understand you forged a pretty good friendship with Peter Graves as well.
Well, he made me laugh my head off. I mean, he was so funny, and you wouldn't know it from his demeanor in the show because he was so uber serious, but he was hysterically funny. And I had worked with his brother. I had worked with James Arness from Gunsmoke. So, you know, it was we had a great time.
You did a tremendous amount of TV work and quality work in the 1970s, including earning a Golden Globe for Harold Robbins' 79 Park Avenue. Was that a lot of fun?
Oh, it was an amazing experience because it was 3 months. There were 96 costume changes because I went through all these decades. And it was a very, you know, I don't know if that kind of romantic movie would occur today, but it was full of romance and pain and, you know, just, it was a great, you know, there was a rape in the beginning and, you know, it was very, very, very emotional and dramatic, which I loved.
And then I think one of your greatest film roles, working with Blake Edwards and a stellar cast, Julie Andrews, the great James Garner and Robert Preston, everybody involved in Victor Victoria.
Yeah, that was a sensational experience. It was one of the highlights of my acting career, for sure. I mean, I adored Blake. I adored Julie. And, he really let me go full throttle with my own imagination in terms of Norma Cassidy. And it was, you know, it was scary, really scary, but it was also an incredible opportunity for me.
And Julie was on with us a few years ago, and she talked about how much she loved, not only in Victor Victoria, but in the Americanization of Emily. She just loved working with James Garner, and everybody we've talked with that worked with him says the same thing. He was just top shelf.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yes, and it was fun to be his sort of adversary in this movie, you know, because even though we were together, we weren't really together. And Norman was always, you know, calculating her next move. So it was fun. It was really, great fun.
in the mid-1980s. You made a movie that did well at the time, but who would have imagined all these years later Clue would become such a fan favorite and a cult classic? But I have to think you just enjoyed the opportunity to work with so many comedy geniuses.
Yes, it was, in my opinion, it was some of the most iconic comic legends and in one movie. And again, it was extraordinary to watch the other actors work. You know, we actually drove Jonathan Lynn a little crazy, the director, because we would be laughing uproariously at each other's shenanigans. And it was only moderately successful when it came out, but it is huge now. I can't tell you the amount of mail I get. It's amazing. Or, you know, Instagram posts, and it never wavers. It's so wonderful.
I understand, too, that you and Martin Mull fed off each other very well and forged a wonderful relationship as a result.
We did. We were put together as Colonel Mustard and Scarlet, and he just made me laugh all the time. And subsequently, we've been in, I think, four or five other projects together as husband and wife. And, you know, I call him my telehubby. You know, we love working together. We enjoy each other's talent and, you know, comic sort of sensibility. And we just have the greatest time together. So it's a blessing.
And it was great. I always loved watching Psych, and it was great to see so many of you back together on that episode.
Yeah, I had just come out of a cast. I broke my kneecap in a crazy accident. I fell over cord, but so I couldn't do a lot of the running. Couldn't do a lot of the crazy kind of Clue running from room to room. So they had to get somebody in the dress that I was wearing, and she would do the running, and then I would appear. But we had a great time. I wouldn't have made it through customs because we were there for two and a half hours if it wasn't for Martin. He was so hysterical. Yeah.
Is comedy harder to do than drama, and how important is it to approach it very seriously and not wink at the audience?
I think they're equally as challenging, you know. And I've always said, I always approach the comedy that I'm doing the same way that I approach the dramatic roles that I'm doing. I approach it very seriously. I figure out who the character is, what the history is, what the relationships are. And I genuinely feel that if you either have the comic sensibility or you don't. I don't think it's something that can be taught in class, you know. So luckily for me, I seem to have it.
What was your experience like working with Mel Brooks on Life Stinks?
Oh, it was fantastic. I adored him. He was so protective, but also pushed me to do things I'd never done before, which was exciting and scary. And I think the favorite, you know, my favorite moment in that movie was our Ginger Rogers first stair dance. He decided midway through the movie that he wanted to do a dance number. And I, of course, was overjoyed. And we had just, it was, first of all, it's hysterical. But it was just a joy, you know. He's one of my favorite leading men.
Well, you studied ballet when you were a young woman, right?
Yeah, I studied ballet from the time I was 6 to about 14.
Wow. A couple of movies that I loved your work in. One was a terrific movie. I don't think got enough attention, with Terrence Stamp, The Lyman.
Oh yeah, that was amazing, an amazing experience as well. I was so excited to work with Steven Soderbergh. I was thrilled, and I was nervous. I was very nervous for most of it because I held him in such high regard. And Terrence is, such a brilliant actor with such an enormous legendary career. But it was challenging in different ways, because what we would do is he would have us shoot the same scene in three different locations. And then he edited it together in this way to convey a kind of memory of the Terrence Stamp character. So it was very different than other movies that I've shot.
Also love the work you did with Maggie Gyllenhaal, James Spader, and Secretary.
Yeah, that was wild. That was a wild experience. I had read the book. I had read the short story, and I very much wanted to be a part of it. But it was tremendously challenging.
You've worked with so many terrific directors through the years. From your perspective as an actor, what do you look for? What makes a good director?
You know, all of the directors that I have worked with that I admire so tremendously, they're all different. And in my opinion, there is no one or two attributes that make a great director. You know, really, they're so different. But you have to go in feeling like you actually respect and trust the person at the helm. And then you can go on whatever journey they want to go on.
You worked with one of the greatest directors, but in a different role, acting alongside Sidney Pollack in Will and Grace. Yeah. That must have been a real treat.
It was a real treat. He had produced a movie I had done called Songwriter with Willie Nelson and Chris Christopherson. And so when they called me and asked me to do this, I didn't know that I would be working with Sidney. But I obviously found out at the table read that there he was. And it was just, you know, what was great about it was he was as serious as an actor as he was as a director. He challenged some, you know, content, he took lines, and he was very devoted and very committed as an actor. And we come from the same sort of background in terms of our work. And so it was just heaven to work with him.
You worked with another great ensemble on Desperate Housewives, and there's a common theme that you tend to be a part of these great ensembles that tells me you're one of those actors that brings out the best in the people around you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. You know, honestly, I just try to do the very best with the work that I'm doing, whatever that is, in whatever capacity it is. You know, I went and did a cameo a year ago in a tiny independent movie because I really like the material and I like the director. It's a woman director. It's her first directing, but I really liked her and thought she was so intelligent. And, you know, I put as much into that as I do into Victor Victoria or Clue or, you know, any of the more, obvious sort of star vehicles.
So many of us have been touched by dementia in our family. A terrific film, a television film that you did a few years back with Brett Cullen. It Snows All the Time.
Yes, it just came out on Amazon Prime. It took a long time finding a distributor, which is sometimes the journey of independent films. But it's a very lovely, moving film about early onset dementia. And Brett does an amazing job, and I was very proud of my participation in it.
You've had such a remarkable career, Leslie, and you've worked so hard. You make good choices, obviously, too. Where does the work ethic come from? Is that something you learned from family?
You know, I think it comes from ballet, to be truthful. I think ballet is such a structured, disciplined art form. And as a young girl, I was inundated, you know, exposed to my first teacher was from the Royal Ballet in England, and she was strict as hell. And, you know, my subsequent teachers, Dugudovsky, a Russian teacher who was brilliant. And you learn this really strict discipline and commitment in that art form, just like in the Olympics, I'm sure, you know. And so that carried me into my choices as an actress.
What's the role that people bring up most often if you encounter them in airports, out in public?
Excuse me. I would say Clue or Cinderella. They're totally diverse, but I mean, Clue is still a giant fan favorite, and they love Miss Scarlet. And it's the same thing with Cinderella. You know, it's all these years later, it has just impacted so many people and moved them so much. And that, you know, they speak of it with such great love and admiration. It's beautiful.
Well, Leslie, I've enjoyed your work from the time of Cinderella right up into everything you're doing these days. It's been wonderful to talk with you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Nice to talk to you, too. Thank you so much.